Here we are on Easter morning at the place of the Garden Tomb. What a bittersweet place that this location is. I mean, first, this is the place where Jesus was actually taken from the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea placed him in a tomb that he had for his family. You got to imagine what a desperate moment that was for the 12 disciples and the hundreds upon thousands of followers of Jesus who believed in this radical rabbi, his teachings of freedom and his teachings of love and acceptance, his teachings of second chances. And here he was buried in this tomb. And you just have to imagine how the people that followed him hurt and had questions and were worried and afraid. You can't blame the disciples for running and wondering what's going to happen now, even though Jesus reminded them, told them multiple times that this was going to happen. I don't think they ever believed it would actually happen. But as I said, this place is bittersweet. Yes, this is the place where they laid Jesus to rest, but this is also the place where Jesus rose again from the grave to go join his Father and sit at the right hand of the throne of God forever and forever. And that's right there what we build our hope on. The fact that he was crucified and laid in this tomb right behind me for a few days. But on Easter morning, on that celebrated morning, he rose again, never to die again. This is what it's all about. This is where the road led to. It didn't just lead to a cross. The cross was just one stop along the way. It led to this, the resurrection. Our hope, our eternity, with the Father who did everything in his power to come and bring us back to him. When we talk about Jesus, we talk about God in the flesh, that he came to this place, to earth, to be with his children, to walk and talk and to laugh and perform miracles. And here in this place, this is the exclamation point of it all, his resurrection, the truth that he was who he said he was. He wasn't a lunatic, he wasn't a liar. He was the Messiah, the risen Lord. Well, happy Easter, man. It is great to see so many people here today, just crammed in. And if you can continue to make room, people are still coming in. It's just great to know that so many people are here. And I just want to say this. I mean, we're an open door kind of place. I mean, we're just glad that you're here. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the church or maybe you're just curious about Jesus, if you have some questions about who he is and what he's done or what it means to walk with God. We are just glad that you're here. And here's what I know about God. God is stoked that you're here today. He is, because you know what I know about God? God always meets us exactly where we're at. Now, I don't know if you remember. I mean, I am sure you remember. I mean, I'm almost guaranteed that you remember the 1986 Yankees. I mean, I'm sure you remember this team. It was an undefeated team. It was a championship team. The undefeated Yankees, 1986, of the Plaza East Boys 12 and under Little League team. I mean, we were awesome that year. I mean, check me out. Starting catcher there, 96 whopping pounds, many lives ago. But man, it was so incredible to be on a championship. We were undefeated, 16-0. And then we finished the season, we got trophies. It was awesome. But you know what's even better? We got snow cones, pixie sticks, and all the big league chew we could cram in our mouth. I mean, it was awesome to be a part of a championship team. It was awesome to be on a winning team. And for this 12-year-old kid, man, it meant the world. I mean, do you have any memories that you remember, any victories like that that maybe you remember? I mean, have you ever won anything? Do you have any trophies like this around the house reminding you of a championship team? Have you ever won a pool around the office? Or maybe you called up and you were the ninth caller and you got some free tickets, you know, to a concert? Or maybe you held the winning ticket to a lottery? Anybody? Anybody? Just check it again, all right? Just asking. I mean, maybe you won a fishing tournament or a bowling tournament. Maybe you weren't in a spelling bee or a beauty contest. Or maybe you won a talent show. Or Maybe, guys, if you ever want to fight with your wife, just once. And I'm looking to see if any guys, I won't talk to you afterwards, all right, because I just don't know how to do it. But here's the thing. This time of the year is just awesome if you're a sports fan. I mean, it is. I mean, think about what just went down the last couple weeks and what's going on right now. I mean, we just followed the road to the Final Four, the greatest tournament on earth, the NCAA tournament. And right now, as we speak, guys are warming up to go out there at the Masters, the golf tournament. I mean, we're just 9 games away from the NBA Finals, and this week, baseball kicked off. I mean, if you're a sports fan, now is like, it's the best time of the year. It's incredible. And over the next couple weeks and months, there are going to be individuals and teams that are going to get together, and they are going to celebrate wins. They are going to celebrate victories. But here's the thing. A year from now, they're not going to get together and celebrate those things. Because you see, a year from now, probably no one will remember. I mean, we're not going to take a day off a year from now to celebrate Kentucky's win over Kansas. We're not going to do it. I mean, a year from now, no one will probably remember who won the Georgia-Florida game. Georgia, by the way, just so you know. I mean, truth be told, most of us watched the Super Bowl, and we remember the commercials long after we remember who won the game. I mean, I don't know, this week I was watching TV, and I came across this movie, and I've never seen the whole movie, but it looks like a really good movie. It's called Coach Carter. And it's about a high school basketball coach who kind of gets thrown into this high school team. It's kind of a rough school, an inner city type of school, and it's just this rough environment. And he sits his players down in the gym, and they're sitting on the bleachers, and he asks them this question. He says, "What's your goal in life? What's your goal in life?" And the players think about it for a minute, and one of the players speak up and says, "To win state, coach." Another one says, "Yeah, coach, to win state." I mean, to win state, coach. The rest of them all piped up, to win state. And the coach then asked them this question, said, "Who won last year?" To that, they didn't know. They didn't know who won last year. And here's how he responded. He says, "Do you want your life's goal to be something that will be forgotten a year from now?" See, sometimes victories are like that, right? Sometimes they're forgotten. But guess what? Not this one. Not this one. You see, today, all over the world, millions of people are gathering together in mud huts and stone cathedrals and in rented schoolhouses and in borrowed movie theaters, getting together in places that, like a Tyson chicken plant that's been refurbished at Fleming Island, or right here in Mandarin in an old business and industrial park. There are people getting together in countries where they got to hide to get together, all celebrating the greatest victory we know, the victory Jesus over death. The greatest victory, the most incredible victory, the grandest victory of them all. And every year we gather together to celebrate that victory. In fact, every week we gather together to celebrate that victory, don't we? Speaking of, actually every day we think and celebrate that victory. And I don't think I'm overstating it one bit by saying this. This is the one victory that changed the world. Because I know it changed my life, and I'm guessing by you it changed your life. And let me tell you, those disciples, those followers of Jesus, man, it radically changed their life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to now look at Matthew chapter 28 and kind of open it to the last chapter of Matthew. And I just want to read to you this morning as we get started this first Easter. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 28. "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came back down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel then said to the women, 'Do not be afraid.'" Right? Don't be afraid. I mean, don't we think of angels sometimes, these cute little cherubs, you know, little precious moments type of looking things? But how come in the Bible, every time these guys show up, the first words out of their mouth are, "Do not be afraid, we are good guys, I promise," you know? And so they say, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they didn't recognize Jesus at first. In fact, in the Gospel of John, it says they thought he was a gardener who actually worked there at the graveyard. But then they recognized him. They realized who was saying their name, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I mean, there you have it. The greatest victory in history, right there. You know, one of the things we learn early in life is that death is kind of final, don't we? I mean, early in life, we learned that death is kind of final. In fact, I'll never forget giving my youngest son, Silas, his very first pet. It was a turtle. He didn't last long enough to get a name, unfortunately, in our house. But Silas loved him and played with him and hugged him. And in fact, between hugging him so much and the dog thinking he was a chew toy, the turtle didn't make it much longer than a day and a half in our house and went to turtle heaven, which then led to all kinds of questions about dogs and cats and goldfish and turtles and heaven. But from an early age, my kids just knew that turtle wasn't going to come crawling around the corner anytime again. And he was gone. You see, we learn early on that death is, well, irreversible. It's irreversible. And maybe for you it wasn't a pet or a goldfish or dog or cat. Maybe for you it was someone that you loved very, very deeply. And you lost them, and just something inside of you, you knew that they were not coming back. Now think about this story. I mean, what would it mean for us if this was really true? You see, the promise of Easter is this: reversibility. Reversibility, that death can be defeated, that death has been defeated, that death has been overcome. I mean, think about the disciples on that morning. Put yourself in their shoes. I mean, think about someone maybe you lost, someone you care about. Maybe someone you were grieving about after they passed away and you missed them and you longed to see them again and you longed to be with them. And just imagine then you walk out of these doors into the parking lot and there they are standing right in front of you in the parking lot. I mean, with that same smile, that same glint in their eye, standing right there alive. It would blow you away, wouldn't it? It would absolutely blow you away. Well, that's what happened to these guys that Easter morning. I mean, remember what it said on Friday night, that they were devastated. I mean, the one that gave them the words to life, the best man they ever knew in their life, the one who they put their hope and trust in, was killed. He died, was crucified. And they saw it. They saw it with their very own eyes, that he was killed, that he was gone, that he was murdered, just like an average everyday criminal. And their emotions were all over the place. I mean, despair and hopelessness and fear and anger over the injustice. Plus, they just missed him because they loved him so much. But then on that Easter morning, there was a new tune playing from that tomb, because with their very eyes, they laid their eyes on their friend, their teacher, their master, their Lord, and he was alive. He wasn't dead. I mean, the disciples saw with their very own eyes what God did in this graveyard outside the city of Jerusalem. And they saw what he could and would repeat on a grander scale for them and for you and for me and for your family, for my family, for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. You see, the simple, powerful message of Easter is this: against all odds, the irreversible is reversible. And it's reversible. I know sometimes we look at our life and we think, what about my past, Jason? What about my past? Is my past reversible? Can I really get past that? Because, man, I'm thinking my past can never be erased. I mean, it can never be forgotten. It can never be forgiven. I mean, I don't know if I can recover from this. But you know what Easter says? It can. It can be overcome. It can be forgotten. Nothing is irreversible. Yeah, there are consequences. Yeah, you still got to live out some of the decisions that you made. But life could be different from this point forward, because the irreversible is reversible. You remember that friend of Jesus, Peter? Remember last week he talked about the bold prediction that he made? He kind of thumped his chest. Said, you know what? I'm Peter. I'm the rock. You know? I'm strong. And all these other guys here, yeah, they may fall away. All these guys over here, they may not make it. But me, I will never deny you, Jesus. Not me. I will die for you. And then a couple hours later, in the darkness of a courtyard, out there outside of Caiaphas' house, when Peter has a chance to stand up for Jesus, he blows it. Rooster crows, he runs out of the courtyard, falls into a heap of a broken man. He cries like a baby because he was unable to stand up for his friend Jesus. And today I just want to read for you the resurrection story from the Gospel of Mark. And it's so cool how Mark puts it, because understand this, many scholars believe that Mark actually was led writing his gospel by Peter. So as you read Mark's gospel, it's almost like Peter's memoirs, his time with Jesus. And listen to what he says about this, because this is so cool. There are two words that just kind of give us hope that our past can be reversed, it can be overcome. Listen to what the angel says. Angel says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You were looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Did you catch those two words? Hear what it said. It said, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." I mean, isn't that cool? I mean, I think Jesus knows of all the people in the story that need to hear that message, it was Peter. Of anybody that need to hear that the reversible is reversible, it was Peter. Because he knew in that moment, Peter was devastated. He was broken. He was hopeless. He thought his life was worth nothing. He was filled with shame and doubt and guilt. He's thinking, "What did I do? I mean, I told him I would stand up for him, and then in the moment, I failed. I mean, what kind of friend am I? What kind of man am I? What kind of human being does this?" I think Jesus knew that Peter needed to hear the message of Easter, that the irreversible is reversible. I mean, anybody else need to hear that about your past today? Anybody else here feel hopeless over your failure in your job, or your failure in your marriage, or your failure in your sexuality, or your failure as a parent, or how you failed your parents? Anybody here ever wishing you just get a do-over? Maybe you got started in a project, and you're halfway through, and go, "Man, I wish I could start over." Have you ever been halfway through a year at school and go, "Man, I wish I could just start over"? Or maybe halfway through a career and say, "I wish I could start over." Or maybe halfway through a relationship, say, "I wish I could start over." Or halfway through life, and you say, "I wish I could start over." Ever been there? Ever been at that point in life where you just say, "I wish I could start over"? I mean, here's the incredible message of the empty tomb, that with Jesus Christ, you can start over. You can have a new beginning. You can have a fresh start. Your past can be forgiven. Your failure doesn't have to be final. With God on your side, you can do a 180. You see, those two words, "and Peter," completely changed Peter. Completely. In fact, you can read about it in John chapter 21. It's when Jesus and Peter get back together. After all this has gone down, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's like, "Yeah, I love you." He said, "Great, I'm going to use you to change the world." Peter's like, whoa, man, I blew it. Jesus said, "Peter, don't you get it? The irreversible is reversible. Your past is your past. I was dead, here I am alive. He'll look at my scars. It's good. The irreversible can be reversed." And I just want to go out on a limb, and a really short limb here today, because I think God might have brought some of you here today just to have a one-on-one conversation with you. Because he just wanted you to hear today from him that what you've done, he can still forgive. What you've done, he still loves you. No matter how deep a hole you think you have dug, he can reach down and pull you out with his grace. No matter how far you've run from him, he has run farther to grab you. That what is irreversible is reversible. Your failure doesn't have to be final. Your past can be reversed. And that's the incredible message of Easter. That the God who had the power to blow the stone off the tomb and raise a man from the dead will give you the exact same power to help you overcome things in your life. That's the message of Easter. That's what it's about. The irreversible can be reversed. Can be reversed. That's why I believe it's one of the reasons it's the greatest victory ever. And I said one of the reasons, because another reason I think it's pretty powerful is it can also change your current situation. It can also change your current situation. You see, if you choose to walk with God, you choose to embrace Jesus Christ who came back from the dead, then you have that exact same power that God used at your disposal. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Again, that's the message of Easter. That the things going on in your life right now, the stuff that you are facing right now, that you feel there is no way to come back from, it can be reversed. You have a power source that's waiting, just waiting to be called upon. And you know it, life is hard. Life is hard. Jesus said a life is going to be hard. I mean, we've all experienced tough parts of life. I mean, it can be difficult. Things go wrong. I mean, you can lose your job and bills go unpaid and houses go unsold and the parents get cancer and your bodies fall apart. I mean, that's just part of life. That's just part of living on this planet. And sometimes we all hit these moments, these crossroad moments in life. And maybe you're at one of these right now. I mean, for a lot of people, midlife is one of those moments. Midlife is one of those points when you kind of look in the mirror and you don't even recognize who you're looking at anymore. You know, who is that? I mean, where has the time gone? I mean, you look at your life and you realize if I'm halfway through, if there's a halfway point, that means there's an end point. I mean, what have I done with my life? How have I made a difference? Have I done anything with this life? And maybe some of you are at the point where you're raising kids now. And you're looking at your precious son or your precious daughter, and you're thinking, how in the world am I going to raise them in this world that's full of terrorism and drugs and gangs and Amber Alerts and school bullies and just these cliques at school that are just picking on my kid? I mean, how in the world am I going to do this? I mean, I am not prepared for this. I want to protect my kids. And maybe you're at a point in life where you're losing sleep at night, where maybe you're popping Tums or maybe doing something far worse because of your financial situation. I mean, you're thinking, man, I couldn't believe, I never would have imagined it would have taken this long to find a job. I mean, I never would have dreamed my house would have been worth half as much as it was a couple of years ago. And you're stressed and you're worried and anxiety is just eating your lunch. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be that way. Yes, it's hard, but when you embrace Jesus Christ, the one who stared death in the face and said, not today. Not today, not ever. When you have him by your side, he will help you overcome whatever you're facing. I mean, think about those disciples. I mean, there they were that night. I mean, that night after Jesus, the Bible says they locked themselves in the room and they were panicked. They were worried because of what might happen. They're playing the what if game. You guys ever play the what if game? You know, where you think what might happen, you know? Maybe you're a college kid on your way back to school and you say, you know, what if my car breaks down on the way? Or maybe you're going out on a date and you say, you know, what if I have bad breath? Or what if I say something stupid? What if I have a big zit on my forehead? You know, what if, what if, what if? Well, the disciples were playing that what if game. They locked themselves in the room and they were going, what if? I mean, what if the religious leaders are coming after me next? What if they're going to get us next? I mean, what if the Romans are going to come after us and they're going to want to crucify us just like they did Jesus? I mean, what if the jobs that we held before we left 3 years ago, what if they're not there when we get back? I mean, what if we can never show our face again? Well, what if we can never go to our families again because they just think we're so stupid for following this guy? What if? What if? What if? Listen to the change that happens once they see the risen Jesus. John chapter 20 says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. You know what I love about that? I mean, doesn't it just show this immediate change in these guys? I mean, just an immediate change in their current situation. I mean, 1 minute these guys were afraid. The next minute, they're at complete peace. I mean, 1 minute these guys are filled with despair. The next minute, they are filled with joy. I mean, 1 minute these guys are just crushed. The next minute, they're confident. You know, 1 minute, they're totally defeated. The next minute, they're ready to take on the world. Immediate change. Why? Because they knew, because they were looking eyeball to eyeball with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, that no matter what comes in their life, he was enough to get them through. And what did he tell them? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. I will never do it. Can you see why doing life with Jesus just brings such power to you, brings such confidence to dealing with your everyday situations? I mean, I know some of you are thinking right now, you're thinking, Jason, but you don't understand. You don't understand my financial situation. God does. But Jason, you don't get it. My marriage is hanging on by a thread. God understands. But Jason, you don't get it. You've never been there. You haven't ever dealt with addiction. Well, God knows. He knows. And the God of the universe stands ready to extend the exact same power that he extended in that empty tomb to you to overcome what you're facing. You see, that's the message of Easter, that the irreversible can be reversed. It's the powerful Easter message that your past, your current situation, and even your future can be reversed. I mean, let's just talk for a second about death, all right? Because I know no one likes to talk about death. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it because, you know, we know that death is the opposite of life, and it makes us feel a little weird because there's a lot of questions we have about death. I mean, we want to know. I mean, we're scared about it because we don't know what's on the other side. We're scared about it because we don't know what it means to be separated from people we love. We're scared about it because we don't know the pain that we might have to go through. I mean, we're scared about it because we don't know how we're going to go out. I mean, is it going to be fast? Is it going to be slow? Is it going to happen at home or at work, at a hospital, in a retirement center? Am I going to die in a car crash or a plane crash? Am I going to die in a roller coaster? Just a dream I have. You know? Another one, you know, am I going to fall into a pit of rattlesnakes? Another one I have. And I was watching Discovery, and it's possible, all right? But death is kind of freaky. It's scary, and we don't like to talk about it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But listen to what a couple of kids wrote about death. They were asked, a couple of kids, elementary kids, were asked what they think about death. Listen to what Gilda, age 8, says. When you die, they put you in a box and bury you in the ground because you don't look so good. Smart girl. Stephanie, age 9, says this. Doctors help you so you won't die until you pay their bill. I don't know if she meant it, but you know, hey. Here's the last one. Marsh, age 9, said this. When you die, you don't have to do your homework in heaven unless your teacher's there. Not long ago, I was out with Ann. We were walking around the town center, and this group of kids, much younger than us, and I could tell they were younger because they were wearing clothes that I used to wear when I was 7, that they're cool again, you know? And they were walking towards us. I noticed this kid wearing like a yellow t-shirt. And on the front of his shirt was the word live. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And as I walked by him, I kind of peeked around my shoulder and looked over, and in the back of it, it said die. I thought, that's a little strange, a little morbid, you know? I mean, what's that all about? And it just bothered me for a while. And a few minutes later, we're walking back down the other side, and here come that group of kids again. And so I positioned myself in a way that I can see his shirt. You see, under those two words was kind of this fine print. And it said this, it said these words, it said, live like you'll die tomorrow, die knowing you'll live forever. You see, when you're not afraid of dying, then you won't be afraid to live. You see, death has been conquered. Jesus won that battle. And he says, you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. Listen to what 2 Timothy says about this victory we're talking about today. Now, Christ Jesus has come to show us the what? Kindness. Jesus has come to show us the kindness of God. I mean, you remember the words, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. It doesn't say God was so ticked at the world that he had to do something. Hell, he sent his son. I mean, Jesus comes to share God's kindness. Jesus, our Savior, defeated death and brought us life. Jesus defeated death and brought us eternal life. Forever and ever. And there's this great verse that and Peter guy wrote that just talks about this hope and talks about hope in our current situation, our hope in the future. And listen to what Peter writes. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the and Peter guy. The guy that doubted, the guy that ran away, the guy that failed. He says, you know what? We have a living hope. I can tell you because I experienced it. And I can tell you, you have a forever right now in the middle of your circumstances kind of hope. I saw Jesus. I touched him. He is alive. He won the battle. He is alive. Death has been defeated. Death is not final. It is not irreversible. You know, someone told me before that possums are pretty smart animals. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, yeah, I see them on the side of the road a lot of mornings, and they're not that smart, all right? You know, when you see this large vehicle with bright lights and noisy coming, you want to get out of the way, I want to tell them, you know? But possums, and this is Indiana folklore here, so I'm just going to tell you this. Possums evidently are so smart that when they see a hole in the ground and there's only one set of tracks that go in, they refuse to go into that hole. Because here's what they think. With only one set of tracks going in, there's probably something in there waiting to eat me, all right? But here's what it goes on to say. If they see a hole and there's a set of tracks going in and a set of tracks coming out, that it'll go in and not be afraid. You see the tomb, the empty tomb there, two sets of tracks. A set of tracks that went in and a set of tracks that came out. Death was defeated. Jesus won the battle. It's the greatest victory in history. In history. And I love Paul, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, he talks trash in the Bible. He just does. You know, with every victory, there's always a little trash talking going on. Listen to what Paul says, and I love this verse. He simply says these words in 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your strength, your sting? I think here's what Paul's pretty much saying here. Is that all you got? I mean, can't you do any better than that, death? Because Jesus just ate your lunch, buddy. I mean, I think that's exactly what he's saying. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, that's the message of Easter. It proves that nothing, nothing is irreversible. Not your past, not your current situation, not the future that awaits us all. You know what I love about this church as I look around, especially here this morning? Man, we have people from all different walks of life. People of all different shapes and sizes and colors, from all different families and backgrounds and ethnicities. But here's what every single one of us in this room have in common. We're all travelers. We're all on a journey. We are all on a road. And I think you would agree with me that sometimes that road is picturesque, sometimes it's gorgeous, sometimes it is smooth sailing. But other times that road is filled with crater-sized potholes. Sometimes we show up on a road, we don't even know where we're at. Sometimes the road just stops. There's a dead end. Sometimes the road we look down, we have to travel, our stomach gets sick because of the road we have to walk. Sometimes we see the road that is windy and curvy and hilly. And sometimes, I mean, we do pretty good navigating down the road, but other times we get lost. We are all travelers. We are all on a journey. We are all on a road. And over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about Jesus and the road that he walked. And Jesus' road was much like ours. It was filled with joy and laughter and good times, but it was also filled with challenges and curves and huge potholes. And along the way, Jesus ran into people. Man, he ran into all kinds of people. And what I noticed about Jesus is he noticed every single person. He cared about every single person. He loved every single person. He died for every single person. You see, Jesus never saw people of getting in the way of his path, of his road. He saw people as his destination. You were his destination. He died for you because he loved you. He went to the cross for you because he loved you. He went to give his life for everyone so that we can be redeemed and restored because he loved you, because our Father loves you. And he was the only one ever uniquely qualified to do that for us. And he was willing to do it. Why? Because he loved you. He loved you. And so today we come together and we celebrate. I mean, this is the greatest victory ever. And we celebrate his life. We celebrate his death. And today we celebrate the empty tomb, the promise that the irreversible can be reversed. And today we follow a set of tracks that lead away from the tomb, on a road away from the tomb, the road that leads to eternity, a road that leads to heaven, a road that every single one of us can walk, a road that Jesus invites us all to walk today, tomorrow, and forever. The simple, powerful message of Easter: the irreversible can be reversed. There's victory in that empty tomb. Would you stand with me? Let's pray as we prepare to take communion. as we prepare our hearts to worship and just thank him for his love. Would you pray with me, church? Father God, we thank you. Father God, we just humbly come before you here in this moment, and we just, God, stand in awe of the empty tomb. God, not only because it's empty, but for the reason it's empty. God, because of us. That the whole plan unfolded. Jesus walked the road he walked because he loved us. Because you wanted that relationship restored. And so here this morning, on this Easter morning, we celebrate this victory. We celebrate the empty tomb because we know that we have hope. Hope that what was the past can remain in the past and it can be reversed and our failure doesn't have to be final. And that whatever we face right now in life, God, you have enough strength and power to help us. And that God, you have guaranteed us. And we see it through the empty tomb that death is not final. Death was defeated by Jesus. And so God, we just come before you humbly today and say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. And we pray all this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.